What's going on, y'all? Welcome to an episode of Buford's Own Podcast. I'm joined here by Kara Tyrell. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
How's business?
Business is good.
If y'all don't know, Kara has her own makeup room, named called The Powder Room.
Yes, The Powder Room.
What was it like going through that process? Like, how long did it take you to get there?
It's no real one answer for that. It's a lot of different steps. To go into the actual business setting, it took me about a month.
Took you about a month. So when did you start? When did you start thinking about it? Like maybe something like, maybe like going to get your license. Like when did you think like, hey, I want to start my own business instead of doing just makeup just because for fun?
It actually came to me in like 2011. It kind of came like in like a daydream. Maybe I was high or something. I was young back then, okay? And so it kind of came to me. And I was just like, back then I really didn't do makeup even all that well.
Right.
But my friends used to, you know, we used to go out and they even used to tease me about my makeup because I used to wear it and that wasn't wearing it right. But they still wanted me to do theirs before we went out. So I was like, you know, that would be so cool if we had a place that we can go to and turn up and get cute before we go out. And it just kind of came to me then. But back then I didn't really know what it takes, I guess.
So it was like
to run an actual business.
So you kind of fell into it, kind of.
Yeah, I kind of fell into it. Like that was 2011, and then fast forward to 2014. I was working at Great Clips. I was manager at Great Clips, and I did like my job. I made good money, but I was working a lot. A lot of hours, a lot of time away from home, a lot of time away from my kids, a lot of time that I couldn't take off to go places.
Right.
And I kind of, makeup just, I was really advertising it to do it on the weekends.
Right.
Because we closed at 5 on Saturdays. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do makeup from 6 to 10 on Saturdays. And then it just spiraled out of control. I don't know. Like, I was only really advertising it to, like, friends and people who know me. And then all of these people started following me, and all these girls started wanting to come get their makeup done.
Everybody started sharing you and hyping you up. Like, yo, check out my friend, she doing makeup.
So it just, I mean, it just all kind of came together. But luckily, I did have the kind of business management experience from Great Clips.
Right.
So it was, you know, I was already running a full, you know, franchise business.
Right.
So, you know, the business side kind of, it came easy to me after I was in it for a couple of years.
Right. And doing that, and I learned, like, when you're sometimes, like you said, you were a manager at Great Clips, which is where I first originally met you at, is that you don't realize that you're maybe capable of something until you get into it. And then you realize, like, oh, yeah, like, I can actually do this. Because I remember, like, my first time being a manager at a job, and I was young. I was only 19, and I kind of got thrusted into it. And I'm thinking, like, you've heard so much, like, a manager being this, and then a business owner having to do so much things, and then you finally get into it, and you realize, like, hey, I can't. I mean, it has its ups and downs. It's always going to have its, you know, down moments. Yeah, but then you realize, like, oh, yeah, I can't. It's easier than I thought it was.
Yeah. I still wouldn't put that word easy on it,
right?
Because it's a lot of struggles for it. You know, I had to find my way in this whole makeup world. But it's not just makeup, because I had to add other stuff to it, because we live in Buford and not everybody's gonna get their makeup done on a daily basis.
Right.
So I had to make sure I was making money through the week and not just the weekend if I was gonna quit my regular job.
So what do you cut hair in your shop during the day, or what?
No.
What do you do?
I do sew-ins. I do microblading. I do brow tint. I do quick weaves. I try to keep it simple, because, you know, I would like to focus on the main things that I do, so I don't want to have a crazy amount of services.
Yeah.
That way, you know, I noticed that stylists that got so many services, like, they can't necessarily always focus on, you know, what they want to do, because people are going to book you for what you're good at.
Right. So you find a way to just to kind of fill it out. And that's another avenue that I'm thinking on, because right now I'm having fun. I'm interviewing people that are doing successful things, you know what I'm saying, around the community. Like, you have your own business, and, you know, so I want to get everybody the chance. I want to try to get some college graduates in here as well and stuff like that. And so, but I realized that at some point I'm going to have to try to move on. Like, I probably might have to get a full show going instead of just doing the interview thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
you always got to be thinking about your next step. Like, you always got to, you know, especially in the industry that I'm in, you all, like, I'm always on the internet and Instagram, always looking, you know, for that next thing, because it's always moving. Like, so you got to keep up with it, you know, because people don't wear their hair now like they wore, you know, 20 years ago. So you can never stay stuck your prime.
It's always a new hairstyle. And I think that's the good thing about you being in your field with, you know, the hair and the makeup, is that it kind of can't get old per se, because there's always a new hairstyle out, or, you know, a new kind of make, a new style. Mm-hmm. So long as you change with the times and don't be like, oh, I don't do that, you know what I'm saying, you kind of can stay relevant if you can do it and you do a good job at it, kind of.
Yeah, but with that though, you still can say, like, I don't do this. Right. And that's me. Because, uh-huh, you know, I stick to what I do. And people are always asking me about stuff that I don't even advertise. Like, you do, you know, certain things they're asking for. I'm like, I don't even advertise this. So why are they even asking me I do this? But, you know, I stick to what I know and I stick to what I'm good at.
Right.
Because some people, especially people that have not been, you know, doing hair, makeup, whatever, you know, for a long run, that's kind of just coming in it. Mm-hmm. They want to do everything. So if they got somebody asking them if they can do something, they're going to say, yeah, just, you know, regardless, to get that money. Mm. But they don't understand, like, the backlash that comes with that money if you don't do it right.
Right.
So for, you know, the up and coming stylists, I would say stick to what you know, and you can always practice on your friends.
Yeah, because I do
stuff that you don't know.
That do happen. I've seen that, and not just in your field, just in business. You trying to stay with them. You're trying to stay updated. You're trying to branch out or go out your field, and you try to put it out there before you're 100% good at it. And then that backlash, especially with women and hair. Like, if you mess up somebody's hair, I'm pretty sure you're going to be in a post in like 2 seconds.
But like you said, it's not just this feeling. That's in business in general. You know, stick with, you know, like, these are customers, not like your play dummies or whatever. So, yeah, that's how I try to keep it.
What was the hardest part of you having your business so far? Like, what was the...
I would say the hardest part is dealing with so many females.
Right.
Not only that, before I started in the whole makeup industry, I was a very quiet person. I kept to myself, and my job, it pushes you to be social.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a social field, and I'm an antisocial person.
Yeah, I think
that so. It kind of, and sometimes it kind of, you know, gets misread. But just dealing with so many different personalities of people, like, you gotta kind of keep it cool, but also not let people run over you.
Right.
So.
And I think your field more so than any other field. I think the more you go up, like, if you're a manager at, like, maybe a business, or you're the business owner, you probably won't have to be so much social unless you're having a business, you know what I'm saying, like a business meeting or something. But with you, you're in charge and you're actually with the customers because you're doing their hair and their makeup. So it's like they have to talk to you all the time, and then you deal with so many people there. And then if you're doing their hair, which takes a while, you mm-hmm. don't sit there in silence the whole time. So you have to interact with so many different people, and some people might have a bad conversation. And you still have to.
And don't get it twisted. All money's not good money. And some people can bring bad vibes with them as soon as they walk through the door.
Right.
You know, but of course, try not to let that mess up your day. But you still have kind of, you have a service to provide. You have a business to do. So, yeah. But I mean, it has its ups too. Like it's a lot of ups with it. You meet all kind of different people in all kind of different fields, you know. So, you know, I would like to ask everybody, you know, where you work, what you do,
right,
and stuff like that, because you never know what kind of connection that you really can make.
Has any what has entertained you? Like, what kind of story has somebody come in there with that made you really like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting, I might want to get into that?
I don't really know about that, but I love the youngins. Uh-huh. I love my young people because I like to tell them my story.
Mm-hmm.
I like to tell them how I was in my younger days and how I came up and how my early 20s was a real struggle.
Right.
I like to tell them to hold off as long as possible on having kids until you're ready.
Right.
Because, you know, I got 19-year-olds coming in here talking about they got baby fever. Like, sweetie, no, you don't.
Hey, I'm not on that wave. I'm not. I'm
so
good.
So, yeah, I love my younger generation of clients because they're more impressionable. And, you know, especially that they don't really know me. They know what they see. But then when I tell them all the stuff that I've been through in my past and stuff, they're like, wow, right. Like, you know, okay. You know, she came out all
right. Right. And I'm glad we got back to that because I wanted to talk about how what I viewed as an outsider, just being like a Facebook friend of yours, me seeing everything you went through. Like I said, when I first met you, you were at the barbershop. You know what I'm saying? You were cutting hair. And then we became Facebook friends and winding up seeing you talk about one time your single parenting struggles with, you know, with your kids and, you know, the price of everything. And like one post that really got a lot of attention was like the bus, like they were charging extra for transportation. And it's like, you know, business, when they do stuff, they don't never see it with price of, you know, issues. They're like, oh, yo, let's just start charging for this because it might be an issue for us. But they don't think about the parents who have to pay for it. They assume everybody has that extra money to just dish out, and they force you to kind of deal with it or be left or whatever.
Yeah, that was crazy. My kids, they go to the charter school around here in Riverview. They don't go to the public schools. And then when the time changed for the high schools to get out later, go to school earlier,
right,
and then the younger kids go to school earlier to get out earlier, changed or whatever, so it changed my kids' bus schedule. So yeah, that was crazy. They was trying to charge me $2 a child, you know, for them to ride the bus in the morning. I'm like, that's $6 a day. That's like $30 a week.
Right.
That's $120 a month.
Right. That's another bill right there. And the transportation supposed to be free.
To ride the bus. But they must have sorted that all out. Because a couple of months later, they cut that out. But
they probably got a lot of backlash.
I was like, what?
Because you posted about it, and I saw it. Like, I don't have no kids, but I still thought it was dumb. And then I saw the post, and there was a lot of comments, and I started reading. I was like, all right, these comments are getting too long for me. Let me slide out. But hey, a lot of parents were mad about that, and it's you in the charter school, so you already pay for them to go anyway in the first place, right?
Well, no, you don't really pay for them to go to the charter school.
Right.
But you will come out of pocket on a lot of things.
Right.
Like you don't pay a tuition,
right,
but it is a lot of things that they do that you have to put money toward,
right,
that may not necessarily go on in the public schools.
Right.
So you are coming out of pocket. It's just not with tuition. It's with a whole bunch of other things.
And I think it sucks that they're already funded in a way by like the lottery and by the government and stuff like that, and they still force parents to pay for stuff, and if you don't do it, your kid's left behind. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and with my kids, you know, they're it's one thing as a parent, you want for your kids to have what you didn't have more than you, be more privileged. But then sometimes, you know, I can look at my kids like, you know, I didn't complain about this when I was younger. And so sometimes I do give, you know, them more because, you know, you want to do that because that's not what you had.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, I feel like kids these days, they're coming up a little bit too privileged.
A lot.
And, you know, sometimes you want them to feel that struggle. so they can have a better mindset when they get older.
Right. And like I said, you, like, they're coming up, and the privilege was, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can't do no more as far as rules go. I mean, they're tighter on, you know, disciplining kids. They're tighter on when you can't leave your kids. And it's just the whole, a lot of people feel like they're grown up. I mean, they got phones in their face. I mean, like, for example, like, when I was younger, we were forced outside. We had to stay outside. The front door was like, don't be running in and out my house.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like, they find that you lock your kid outside. It's an issue. They got phones that, like, 4 years old, oh, yeah. The tablets and
my
stuff.
My 8-year-old daughter is pressing me for a phone. Like, she got some birthday money that she's had and been saving up since last month, and she's like, want to buy a phone. Like, I want a phone. How old I'm supposed to be before I have a phone? I'm like, sweetie, you're not getting a phone. You know,
it's like, what can you possibly need,
yeah,
a phone
and not
for?
Only
like,
that, I have 3 kids and I've bought all of them. You know, they have a phone, but it's my phone, uh-huh. But it's for, you know, all 3 of them because they're in sports. Right. And when they, you know, go away to sports, they can call me and stuff like right. that. So, you know, what other phone do you need outside of this one? Like, who you think you're calling?
They see all the social media. And you never know, man. She might want to start a YouTube channel, man. They some girls that's
yeah.
little kids. People love little kids doing great things. So you might be surprised, man.
Yeah,
you might get a
but
talent.
I would tell new mothers, if your child does not know about YouTube, don't put them onto it.
Right.
Because my kids, they want to watch YouTube all day long.
They get addicted to it.
Like, it's an addiction. It's bad.
You can't avoid it. It's going to happen.
Yes, you can. And if I could have avoided, I would have. If I would have known it would have got like this, how uh-huh. these kids are on YouTube, I would have never even showed them a phone, never even shown them a YouTube or nothing.
It's entertaining, man. You can watch whatever you want to watch, whenever you want to watch, and you don't have to wait for it to come on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. It's there whenever you want to watch it.
It's crazy. It's like they don't even want to play with toys no more. Like, they watch other kids play with toys.
That's how it go, man. So what was... So, back into your business, like, what was... How long did it take you to get, like, what was the hunt like as far as, like, your business? Like, how long did it take you to get a location?
Okay. Well, right now, I'm actually on my third location.
Your third?
Mm-hmm.
What happened with the first two?
I just recently moved. The first location, it didn't take that long at all because my mom, she does alterations. She had an alteration shop next to an empty space. Right. And I went and I saw it and I jumped for it.
Right.
Head first, went in there, you know, signed my lease and basically got everything, you know, together, my equipment, licensing, everything within that 30 days. I was open like 30 days later.
You moved a lot faster than I did. You moved a lot faster.
Yeah,
I was
open 30 days after I signed the lease.
Right.
So that was the biggest mistake I could have ever made.
How come?
Because I was so fresh into the business. That's back when I had quit as being Great Clips manager. I had resigned from that and they brought a Great Clips over here, so mm-hmm. I was just working over here as a stylist part-time because mm-hmm. I wanted to spend majority of time in my shop and mm-hmm. doing makeup and mm-hmm. building that business, but I was still also new and fresh into the business. And so, you know, I went in there head first and it was still good. You know, I still had business, but it's like you're working, and at that point I wasn't really doing hair like that. I was more so just really doing
the makeup.
So I was working, but I was working to pay bills.
Right.
You know, I was working to stay there. And in this small town, it's hard to find, in this field, it's hard to find and keep staff. That's why everybody's kind of going into their own suites
mm-hmm.
in their own small studios
and just being them.
Yeah, because, you know, this is a small town, so it's hard to find a staff to want to work under you because you know, you have too many Chiefs, not enough not enough Indians.
Everybody want to be the boss.
You know, everybody want to be the boss. But, so yeah, I had this big vision. Yes, I'm going to get this makeup shop and I'm going to have all these makeup artists and stylists and we're going to do this. And it's like, it all didn't happen that way at all. But then I moved right across the street from my shop, and the house that I moved into, it had a commercial suite.
Right.
In it. It had a commercial suite in it. And it's, if I wanted to turn it into my makeup shop, I could have. But I, at that point, that's why I went to look at the house initially, because my mom told me about it. But I was already in my shop at that point. So I'm like, I'm not about to move my shop. And then probably like 6 or 7 months later, my mom kept telling me, you need to move. You need to move. You can save money and you can this. But of course, my ego was just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to move. I don't want to downsize. But then when I did it, I loved it. I was like, you are so dumb. You should have done this a long time.
Like 7 months of money.
Like, you should have done this a long time ago. You should have done this as soon as you got the keys in your hand. Because I was saving way more money. Not only that, I was home. And because it's so much to do to keep up a shop. And then that, the size of my first shop was so huge, you know, just keeping up with everything, you know, was a task on its own. And I'm busy alone. So I was like, had that shop, then I was still working at Great Clips. And it was just a lot going on.
I think it was good, because if you think about it, I mean, that's everybody's goal kind of in the end. If everybody can work from home,
yeah,
they would love to do it, because that's the best place to be to get work and still get money.
Yes, and I didn't have to worry about, you know, because sometimes weekends I would run and be in the shop late. I didn't have to worry about having my kids there, you know, in my shop, because it was separate from my house. So it was like being home, it was just like so much better. And I was like, I wish I did this so long ago. Like, I would have saved a lot of money. But you live and you learn, and that's in business. It's a learning. Everything is a learning experience. And not so recently, I had to, you know, remind myself, location is nothing without the actual business. If you get your business and your clientele and people, they come into you regardless. It doesn't matter where you're at. Like, it doesn't, as long as it's a nice, comfortable space, it doesn't really matter where you're at. So I had to learn that, you know, on my own, because sometimes people go into these big, glamorous shops and they want it all for a look, but then the bill is killing them.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes it's better when you think smaller.
Right. And that way, it's like a personality thing. I think people, a lot of times, they try to think bigger than what they are. And people think they want to go full scale, like, immediately. And that doesn't work out for everybody. Some people can go full scale and it's like this wonderful success story. It works out, all the clientele comes and all that. But for the most part, I think a lot of people had to be small first. They had to start off with a small building, then, you know, get to like a bigger building, a bit, and then they start franchising and all that stuff. Like, so it takes a while for the build up. And then it's not always just, hey, I saved up this money and opened a business and everything happened, or I just had it. Like, it's not a movie.
Yeah.
Like, you have to wait for the build-up. You have to build your clientele. You got to network.
And you have to save your money, because at some point, you want your money to work for you. You don't want to be behind a chair for the rest of your life.
Right.
You want to, you know, make sure that when you do get older, you know, your 40s and your 50s, 60s, that your money that you made in your younger days
financially free.
Yes, is working for you. But if you're behind a chair all day to just basically, you know, pay bills and, you know, have a little fun or whatever on the side, that's not gonna work.
Yeah, I didn't think nobody, because a lot of people, they spend money, and I mean, at some point you gotta realize, like, that's the plan. And then even with people who wind up, they get the great jobs where they make a lot of money, like maybe like movie stars and actors and all stuff like that, they get the money and then they start spending the money as they're making it, and then realize,
yeah,
hey, you didn't budget,
and
you didn't
plan the right way. All these stories about them going broke, and you're like, how? How is that even possible?
They start spending money as they get in it. You're living like you're working day to day, you know what I'm saying, check to check. And you're making it hard. You got the money. You just didn't put it all in the right spot. You didn't plan to do it right. You just assume the money is going to keep coming. And then it's cool when you first start out and you're making the money. Like in your case, you got your shop and the money's coming in and out. And if you don't plan for the end of the road, you know what I'm saying? You assume the money's coming. Like, and then when you decide, you get to a point like, eh, I don't want to do this no more, or I do like my job, but I just don't like getting up every day, or, you know, I want to pursue something else. You didn't plan on that end coming before, because it comes quicker than you think it does. But, you know, you weren't planning on it, so now you're done, and then you realize this whole time I've been doing, let's say, you know, makeup. I've been doing makeup 20 years, and now I don't want to do it. Now you didn't realize, like, yo, I should have saved some money this whole time. Yeah. You wasn't ready for that, you know what I'm saying? So that's bad. So what do you think about the changes that they're making in Beaufort County, as far as, like, the biggest, the road.
The what?
The road. You see how they changed it?
I think it's good. Change is always, you know, good.
You better than me. I don't like it.
Why is that? It makes it easier to get from point A to point B. Like,
I don't...
Or if an accident happens, like, that doesn't... You know, you're not going to be stuck in traffic for hours.
I think the median kills that. The whole cement in the middle, I think. Because before, you know, people could just drive, like, in the middle. And then, like, or if an emergency happens, you know, the ambulance, fire truck, or whatever, they can just get in the median and ride down. Or people have a place to merge. Now it's just like, you're there. You got a sidewalk there. You got a cement median there.
I think it's good. I don't know. That's just my point opinion. I just think it's good. It was needed.
Think so?
Mm-hmm. Because it's getting busier down here. You have more people moving here every year. You got more tourists coming every year. You know, the town is getting busier. So, you know, it's not the same. It was the same way it was 50 years ago. So, we have to adapt to the changes.
It might just be me. I'm not a city person. I like the country, but I like the slow vibe. I liked it the way it was.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm city at heart. I love the country too. I love it here, but you know, city at heart.
I like it when I go vacation and then I come back here and then relax and on. You know, what I'm saying, I just can't do the every day and then the movie theaters into Publix.
Well, I don't really dwell on, only because I don't live on this side.
Right.
I will always shop more at Food Lion.
Right. Oh, you.
Not yeah, only that, I, even when I go to the movies, I never go to Beaufort Movies. Right. I always go to Bluffton.
You and a large group of people that do the same thing.
Because it's more comfortable at Bluffton. I used to go there more so just like for the seating,
right?
Because you know you can recline. It's bigger. It's more movie times. It's later movie times. So like I just would always go to Bluffton.
I just think about the thought of the fact that like there, okay, there's not much to do here already in the first place, and then now you take away the movie theater. Now it's less. So now I think what we got. A bowling alley, and
that's true.
So now, and that's my thing. And then they, you know, harp on things that's going on, but it's like there's nothing for nobody.
But if you're a true country person, like if you grew up here, you should not be one of the people in the crowd that keeps complaining about there's nothing to do, because you should be already used to the scenery and what's going on.
Right, but you still want something fun to do at the same time.
You can travel, like Bluffton is only 30 minutes from here. You know, you it's stuff to do, but people just don't like to drive. That's what they need to start saying. They don't like to drive, which is crazy because when you go to bigger cities where it's more to do, a lot of the stuff where it's more to do, you have to drive to, and you have to get on the interstate to go to most of those places. So it's kind of, for me, it's kind of like the same. So, like, you know, I hate when people say, oh, there's nothing to do, you know, around here. And I'm like, what more, you know, do you want? Because anything I want to do, I'm going to do.
You're riding.
Yeah.
You got to get out and go.
Yeah. So, it's like, okay.
Everybody, you gotta learn that, man. You gotta, if you wanna go have some fun, man, you're gonna have to travel. You're gonna have to put some gas in your car and ride out. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you will.
Hey, that's cool. That's cool, man. I'm not a person. I just wish it was something that was just, I don't know. And then the crazy part, though, like, now that you mention it, a lot of people like me, I'm like, ah, oh, there ain't nothing here. There's something need to be here. And then they're like, well, what more do you want? And I'm just like,
you don't know.
I don't know.
They can never, that question can never be answered. Well, what do you want here? Nothing. I do wish, like, the old Publix, like, somebody can turn that into, like, a Dave & Buster's. That would be nice.
That's fine, but that's the point. That would be nice. The Applebee's, they got rid of Applebee's. Now, somebody said, Grapevine now, that it's supposed to be reopening as Applebee's, but I don't think they would have took the sign off if that was the case. And I saw some construction guys over there, and I tried to, you know, get my inside scoop, like, hey, what is this going to be? And they're like, oh, the owner won't tell us. And so they don't know either. Well, I think they know, but they just ain't tell me. But I would think that's a good space for, like, a Dave and Buster's or something.
No, that's too small.
You think it's too small? I mean,
they could add on to it, but, you know, it's too small. But time will tell, because, trust me, a lot of stuff that we have now, we didn't have 10 years ago. So we didn't have 15 years ago. So, you know, the more we complain, the more we get, I guess.
That, and then, too, the issue is, I also want to talk about, like, the support in Beaufort County. You know what I'm saying? Which is my biggest issue, which is my biggest thing for doing what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Is what do you feel about, like, when it comes to this business, we're going to talk about people. But as far as the businesses side, a lot of people complain for a lot of things. Oh, we want this, we want that, X, Y, Z. But then it gets there, then, like, it's not really supported that much. Like, people wanted something to do. I think we got, I mean, a long time ago, you remember the Beaufort Fun Park used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really went to the Beaufort Fun Park. We want something fun to do. You had a fun park. Nobody really went to the fun park. Now it's gone. Now everybody complains about it. You know what I'm saying? We need a pool. You got plenty of pools everywhere. Not that many people go to the pool. You know what I'm saying?
Plenty of people go to the pool now.
Not that much.
Yeah, I've been there. Trust me, my kids go to the pool with their camp now once a week. But even when I took them there on a Sunday, it was packed.
Hey, I'm not.
So now more so. I mean, I feel like it depends. I feel like certain places around here, like you said, the fun park, that kind of went down in the recession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're talking more about, like, bigger businesses and stuff.
Right, for the most part. I think a lot, it's like, when something opens, like, for example, I think when we had, because we don't have much around here, but, like, the KFC.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people complained about the KFC being missing or whatever. They moved to KFC, now opened, everybody got excited about KFC. I think KFC opened and the line was wrapped around the building for, like, mm-hmm. a week. You know what I'm saying? Now you drive by KFC, it's like,
I don't know. For me,
it's like a phase.
I'm kind of on the opposing side, because I feel like in any business, yeah, whether it be a franchise, a big business, small business, this whole support word, I cannot stand.
Why? Why is that?
I cannot stand a support word, because people, if you have a business, you're providing a service, whether it be entertainment, food, beauty, whatever, you're providing a service.
Right.
So you can't always, you know, look as in your peers or whoever just automatically supposed to come and pay for your service just because it's you.
Right.
You need to put in the work.
Right.
You need to advertise. You need to perfect whatever it is you do, you got going on.
Right.
Your, whatever service you're in or whatever business you're in, mm-hmm. and you need to perfect that. And not just, some people, I feel, you know, start businesses and they just feel like everybody's just supposed to throw money at them because it's them. And right. It's like, what am I gonna do with this? You know, what significance does this have in my life? And right. I know I feel like I get a lot of backlash for thinking like that.
Right.
Because, and I've even been told, like, people come to the bottom room and they support you. I provide a service.
Right.
And my service is of quality and it's of affordability.
Right.
So, for me, it's like, you know, You don't walk in a Walmart to go buy something and leave and feel like, oh, I support Walmart. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to buy what you want to buy.
Yeah, because you whatever you're going to buy, you're going to get it for a good price. You can use it to, you know, your leisure, and, you know, it's an exchange of service.
Right.
So that's kind of how I feel about, you know, some businesses, you know, around here don't just automatically look for support from the people around you if you're not doing the right things, if you're not advertising yourself right, if you're not giving, you know, that good customer service, if you're not providing quality, you know, whether it's goods or services. Mm-hmm. Don't look for support from the people around you if what you're doing is not of quality.
Right. So you feel like, I think, you feel like the notion around Beaufort County as far as it comes to people feeling like there's not a support here, you think the people that are putting out a product aren't necessarily, and not in all cases, but in a lot, or not putting their best foot forward to grow a business. They're just waiting. They just want to, hey, I got this pen, buy this pen. They're not trying to advertise it so much.
Yeah, not even, you know, advertise it. Why, what am I buying this pen for rather than a big? Like, what am I buying it, you know, and
first like of all, this is a high quality pen. Don't do my pen. This is a good pen.
But like I say, I do get a lot of, you know, backlash for thinking like that. But I feel like if you're in a business and you just dead that whole support thing and you put in the work and you go out and you do what you need to do, mm-hmm. then it's going to come to you.
Right. And my thing is, and what I want people to understand is that for the most part, when you do something, there is a kind of a wait for it. Not everything is as big as you want it to be off the bat. You have to put in the work. A mm-hmm. lot of times people, they see the celebrities or the more, you know, saying more famous people or people with their successful businesses or whatever. And they assume like, well, you know, I can do that. And then they go do it. And then they expect it to be the same as somebody who's had a business or a career for 10, 15, 20 years. They expect their business to be the same in the first couple months or the first year, and they don't want to wait the building time.
Yeah,
they don't want to build
up. It's a building time, because trust me, my business, those first 2 years was a struggle.
Right.
Like, after I opened the actual business, mm-hmm. those first 2 years after that, you know, they were tough. But like you said, I put in the work. I did the, you know, the free makeup. I did the makeup shows, you know, doing $10 a face, you know. Right. I did the, you know, favors for people. I was, you know, all these people was coming at me with, hey, you want to do this? Or you need you for this? Or we're putting this together. I did all of that.
Right.
You know, and then it came to a point where me doing all of this is hurting me.
Right.
So I done put in my work.
Stretching yourself too thin.
Yeah, I was stretching myself way too thin. And then, you know, after I would do certain events and stuff, I would sit and think like, okay, I spent a lot of money, you know, came out of pocket to be a part of this. What did I get back?
Right.
And then, you know, once you start thinking like that, it's because you already kind of got your clientele and your stuff going. Mm. So then you have to make an executive decision like, you know, I can't do this free stuff no more.
Right.
You know, I did that. I put in the work. So, and I did, you know, some relationships, you know, some business relationships, some people, you know, I'm going to say it just caused a little bit of friction.
Right.
Because it wasn't, oh, we need you to do this show. Can you come here? And then we going to pay you this. It was, oh, y'all need me to do this show. Here's my price. This was them charging. And, you know, either you're going to pay it or you're not.
Right.
Or you can, you know, I can recommend you somebody else who's probably going to, you know,
people don't like that.
Be a little cheaper or whatever. But yeah, they don't. So it did cause like a lot of friction in some of the relationships that I was building. Mm-hmm. But then business is business, and that's just what it
people,
is.
And people don't like that when you're small and you're starting off or whatever, or you kind of got a little sustained success or whatever. They think that they come at you instead of like, they're like, hey, well, she's a smaller business. Like, if there's a reputable business, like a franchise, something, you know, nationwide or whatever, it's like they'll try to demean you, be like, oh, well, you just got, you know, small shop, you're not that big, and they try to do it, but they don't like when you come at them and be like, hey, here's XYZ, here's what I want, here's the prices, or, you know, here's my demands, here's your demands, whatever. Sit down and try to talk to them. They thought they were going to be able to kind of lowball you a little bit into doing what they're doing.
I got that a lot, but it just comes to a point where I choose my charity work.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get me wrong, I still do things for free. I still do things for cheap, but it's what I choose to do. It's
right.
Not, you know, me just always trying to be a part and always trying to be that yes person to everybody. But, you know, I choose who I want to gift my services to, or, you know, what I want to donate or be a part of. It's not necessarily, you know, the public choosing it for me.
Right. And so how far do you plan to go with this? Do you just want this one business and want this one business to be successful? Do you maybe want to open more than one? Or do you see, like, hey, what if a celebrity comes and offers you to be their personal? Would you go do that? Or, like...
I don't know. The celebrity field kind of still really intimidates me a little bit. it does. Like, I'm still human. It still kind of intimidates me a little bit. So, if it happens, it happens. Hopefully, I will get to that point, but it's a lot that comes with that, and I still have children. I'm just not gonna
get up and, hey, I need you to do my makeup in LA.
Yeah, leave my children and go do makeup for this one person all across the world or whatever.
Right.
But I'm not sure as far as that part goes. But one thing I do, and I've always wanted to do, is have like a beauty school.
Right.
Like, to where I'm teaching. Teaching is I feel comfortable teaching. Like, teaching, that's, you know, that is a passion of mine. So I can say, future down the line, I can see myself being an instructor or having a whole beauty school thing.
The powder school. Is that what it is?
No, that name's not even catchy.
No, it's not even. No. Okay, I tried.
Oh, trust me. I the powder room still, that name now, sometimes I kind of regret it. Like,
why did I pick that?
And it's, you know, I was younger when I picked that, and it just kind of stuck, but
I thought it was a good name for a makeup room.
It's okay.
I think when I said the powder school, it was kind of lame.
It's okay,
but
then when you get in business and you think of all these, you know, see all these other names, you're like, I could have did this, or this is more catchy, or whatever, but...
What was the catchiest name you've seen that you were like, I don't think I could have did that?
The catchiest name I've seen. I follow this one artist on Instagram, and her name is Birthday Barbie.
Right.
She does really, really good makeup. Good makeup. And, like, even, like, her lash line has the name Icing on the Cake. It's so cool. Like, and I just think, like, stuff like that is kind of, you know, is more catchy. But, you know, I wasn't in that phase when I came up with the name, but I still love my name, though.
It's still my signature. I was like, that's a dope name for, like, a makeup room. It's, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, in a sense, it's just a business.
Well, that's what it is.
That's good. So tell people where they can reach you, your social media, your address, your location, your shop, whatever, to get in contact with you.
Okay. My new shop address is 20 Mystic Circle, that's Buford SC 29902. My Facebook business page is The Powder Room with Kira Tyrell. My Instagram page is Kira Tyrell. We're not going to go to the personal page because I'm at my limit with friends anyway.
Is that?
Well, but definitely follow me on Instagram. I'm trying to get my Instagram followers up this year. That's like a goal, and I've been slacking. So please follow me on Instagram at Kira_Tyrell.
Yeah, Instagram, getting them followers up on Instagram.
Yes,
that's a fight, man.
And it's crazy that I be posting so much on Facebook and stuff, and I be leaving on Instagram in dust. Like, I use Instagram more for research than I do for posting, and I hate that.
You gotta be slick with it. You gotta get the one where you post the one and then it automatically posts to everything. So that way you can stay in the loop. You can
post my stylist actually told me about that like last year, and I still have not been using it the way I need to use it.
Yeah, once you tap that way you can go ahead and you can get you a Twitter too, and then you don't have to maintain it. You can just
Twitter
post it.
Twitter gives me a headache. Twitter too fast, man. I don't see how people deal with Twitter. Like, I just get a headache. It just be too much going on. Like, I can't read all of this stuff, and it's just going too fast. And
small tweets. You can't make one big post, so people got, like, three posts, and you got to read all of them.
I can't get with the Twitter thing, and I'm okay with that. But right. I do need to get with my Instagram better.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm either, man. I got my Facebook, and I got my Snapchat, and I'm good. I don't be on Instagram. Like, I pop in, look at a couple pictures, and leave. Twitter, I don't even have that on my phone.
Yeah, but me, it's like, you know, when celebrities do come around and they're looking for somebody local, like say if some celebrity come to Savannah or something and they're looking for somebody to do their makeup,
right. My
Instagram ain't popping. I'm like, dang, they need to go on my Facebook. You know, they don't mess with Facebook. But right. Yeah, like, that's why I like, you need to get your Instagram.
It's more, I think, yeah, the celebrity-wise, I think it's the Twitter and Instagram is more celebrity-friendly than Facebook is. It's too much going on for Facebook for them. Because everybody can post on your page and do all that.
But I do have a lot of followers that come from out of town and come from, you know, Savannah, Charleston, Columbia, whatever. And, like, when I do post on Instagram, my hashtag, and, like, I'm like, how you found me? And it was, like, on Instagram. I was like, oh, I barely post on there. That's crazy that you hashtag found me on there.
Hashtag do it.
Yeah.
All right, well, I want to thank you for coming by. It was great to interview you. It's nice to have you in here.
Thank you.
All right. It's the Buford Zone.